What if I told you there's a way you could be a second shooter at a family session so you can see exactly how the photographer prepares, how they interact with their clients, what they say when they're posing, or when they choose to use fluid motion, what they do when kids might not cooperate or dad might not be in the session? What if I told you there's a way you can see what the gear is that they're using, where they're positioning themselves when they're shooting, what factors they're taking into consideration when they're shooting? What if I told you there was a way you could see what their straight out of camera images look like, and then you could see their editing process too, so you know exactly how they get those start to finish images and those polished ones you see in your Instagram feed? Now, what if I told you could be that second shooter without ever having to leave your house? What if I told you that not only do you get to watch it from home, but you didn't have to remember every single thing you were trying to learn the first time you watched it? What if you could watch and rewatch as much as you wanted? How would that improve your images, your posing, your confidence? Now, what if I told you there is a way you could be a second shooter not only for one photographer, but 26? That's exactly what you'll experience inside the 2024 Online Family Retreat. Your inspiration will soar, your art will improve, your posing will become more fluid, and your confidence is going to increase so, so much. And honestly, your clients are going to feel so much more comfortable. Head on over to themilkyway.ca/family retreat. It all gets underway May 29th, and we hope to see you there.
The first thing that I look at is the light in certain places. And if I can use natural light, if I want to bring in some artificial light, if I can use some objects in the room to light it up, basically, then I'm trying to figure out like what I have, like when it comes to props or like things around me that I can use. And so I'm kind of like slowly building up the scene. And it's not like that I have a major idea in front of me before going to the session. I actually go to the session and then I figure things out. And so for that, you don't kind of need like a primer inspiration, but just kind of like go with the flow. And then I just put a child in it. And then sometimes even like my first initial thought about how it's going to work changes because the child comes in and either the child wants to do something else on that I figure out, okay, that doesn't work so much. But if we kind of tweak that and that, maybe that would work.
Welcome to the Art and Soul Show, where we dive into heart-opening chats on photography, business, life, and that messy in-between. I'm your host, Lisa DeJaso, a mom, a photographer, and entrepreneur, and I'll be sharing honest conversations and advice for photographers with insight on mindset, entrepreneurship, and creativity. The goal of this podcast is for you to be able to gain insights and strategies that will get you real results. Because let's face it, having a photography business can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. This is the place you can go when you need a boost of encouragement, a kick in the pants, and inspiration to pick up your camera. This is the Art and Soul Show. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the show. Today, I am super excited to dive into today's conversation with Ivona Podolinska. Sorry, I know I tried really hard on that. Well, she has a very big name, but she has an even bigger reputation. She is probably one of my favorite fine art photographers, especially in the genre of storytelling children's photography. And I first met her back way in 2016 when I actually booked a one-on-one mentoring session with her. And she's actually taught for the Milky Way too. So I am so excited to chat with her. I hope to bring her back to the Milky Way again. Her work is both nostalgic, and it's this perfect blend of this expert level of color grading, creative use of textures and overlays, and she's just an amazing creative force. So I'm really excited to dive into today's conversation. So welcome.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. And yes, we've met before, we've worked together, but it was like a long time ago. I've been listening to the podcast and for quite some time right now. And I used to listen to that and I stopped a little. Then you brought it back in because you are so smart with how you post those reels with those like most interesting parts of your podcast. And it just grabbed me. And then I got back on and I said, oh, I would love to be a guest on your podcast. And then you contacted me. Yay.
I love it. Well, I'm so excited to chat with you because I just love watching your work on social media because it's a scroll stopper. And would love if you just share a little bit about your journey into photography, how you got into it, and sort of where you're at now.
So I started with remember you mentioned 2016. So I think I started like 2014.
Yeah.
I started with my own children. I'm an architect. I used to work as an architect for 10 years before I started doing photography. I liked photography before, but I never knew what to photograph. I like, you know, flowers, like landscapes.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was never passionate about any of those things. And then I had my children, and then I finally discovered my favorite subject. And then I started taking photos of my kids and started posting them online. A lot of people were asking like how you do like your colors and how you do, I know, many different things about them. I started teaching, and I think you were on the Skype sessions that
I used to
do at the beginning.
Yeah, you were just starting, and I was like, oh, like this girl's got something special. I'm watching her. Right?
I don't know how I did then, because I was like, I knew that a lot of people wanted to know stuff from me, and I didn't know how to get on teaching yet.
Yeah.
So I started with those Skype sessions, then slowly started, you know, getting my name over there, and people started inviting me to workshops, and gradually I stopped working as an architect and basically focused on teaching photography. So I never went on that stage when I was a local photographer.
Yeah.
I was an architect, and then I started teaching photography and kept on, like, sometimes do sessions, but it's rarely ever, like, sometimes in between workshops, sometimes when I'm traveling to a certain place and people ask me, like, would you do a session whilst you're there? And it's not for that I want to, you know, make some money. It's really that I just want to, you know, give them what they want. Like, if they want a session from me, that's, yeah, okay, I will do it for you. If you really want this from me. So yeah, so that's how I actually got where I am. And that social media that you mentioned is my, like, one of my most important tools that I work with to communicate with other photographers around the world and see if they want to know, you know, a few of my secrets, if there are any.
I know a few years ago, you actually had a hack. And didn't you? And you lost your entire, was it your entire Facebook and your Instagram?
No, just Instagram.
Just Instagram.
Yeah, luckily. Yeah. So I had my Facebook, which was actually bigger at that time than my Instagram. And it still is bigger than my Instagram, honestly. Although that it doesn't have the same reach. So right now, Instagram has a bigger reach than Facebook. But I get, every time I can't log in to my account,
I know.
It's just like full panic mode right now. And everything that sometimes they're asking me for a password, I get this really, like, I really get anxious. So it's like, you know, post-trauma trauma after that. I thought it was the end. So because this is my most important tool to find people that want to, like, find my clients. And then I not having it was just like, I thought it was the end, but
you have since rebuilt, because I was just looking. I was like, you're back up to close to 115,000 followers on Instagram. So that's pretty remarkable, because you often hear people lose their accounts or they lose their social media, which is like their bread and butter. And they're just like, okay, it's done. I'm walking away. But you didn't do that. You got back on.
Yeah, I still had my Facebook, so that helped me a lot. So I was trying, I tried focus on Facebook, and then I got my Facebook even bigger than that. My Facebook is 160. So it's still bigger than my Instagram. Uh-huh. And so I had the reach, and I could just, you know, ask people like, hey, like, if you want to, if you were following me and you lost and you don't know where I am, that here's my new account and so on. And I had a lot of people helping me at the beginning, because I remembered a few, like, friend photographers, and I asked them like, hey, could you please, like, you know, just put it on your stories, and they did. And I was so grateful that they did. It was a difficult time.
Just the stress of it. Yeah, I can't, like, there's been a few times where I've, like, logged in and I'm like, oh my gosh, did we get hacked? Have we been hacked? And we actually had, like, we had our ads account hacked one time. And so hacking does happen, and it's really jarring, and it really makes you so, like, is this the end? But what I really love is, like, you get up and go. You didn't lie down and say, I'm taking this. I'm going to rebuild, and I'm going to make it better than it was before. And I just love that. And I think that's just such a testament to you and your personality and your strength that you went through that and you still persevered. So I just love that.
You're so sweet.
It was, oh gosh, like there's been a few friends that have just completely lost their accounts. And it's just, it's so heartbreaking to watch because you've worked so hard to get to that point in the industry, right?
I just didn't want to go back to architecture, honestly.
No. Love it.
I will do anything. It was just, yeah, it was such a stressful job. So I'm so happy to be doing what I'm doing right now. I was just coming back from a workshop 2-3 days ago, and I was driving back. It's my favorite time. I'm driving back. And I felt like I'm on the top of the world. So I was like, oh my God, I have a best job in the world. I get to, you know, to get to know more photographers, people that are really passionate, and we take photos together. It's a lot of fun. And I feel like I'm giving, you know, myself to them, and I feel so fulfilled with that. Yeah. So yeah, I couldn't stop.
Now, I think this is something that a lot of educators and people that want to be educators, and I know this is something that I've personally struggled with, is that I sometimes feel like I have to have this photography business that I'm working 24/7, taking all the clients in the world on top of being an educator. And so there's only so many hours of the day. And like by doing two jobs, you don't really do either job excellent. You just kind of do okay at both. So being like, I have been trying to figure out a way where I can just take a few here and there. So I'm still working as a photographer or taking a few clients, but my main job really is as an educator. So can you talk a little bit on that and your experience and why maybe you decided not to do a photography business locally and to pursue it as an educator?
Well, first of all, like I had a job as an architect. So yeah. I felt like choosing that, like obviously like architecture would give me more money and would give me more like, you know, just like status, I guess. I don't know. But I felt like whenever I was like, remember myself when I started doing some of my work and started doing some of my editing. And I was like in my head, you know, already trying to, you know, make a tutorial out of it because I was like trying to explaining that to whoever was watching. And I felt like the best part of those pictures was showing them to other people and just telling like how I did that, how I got to that point and so on. So I thought that was fun. And people are asking me like, could you take a photo of my child? I was like, I can show you how to do that on your own. It's like, you know, it's just when people like want to build furniture and the other ones want to sell the furniture and some people like say like I'm not doing that furniture for you. I just want to show you how to do that yourself.
Yeah.
And because I want to move forward. I didn't want to repeat the stuff that I already did. I wanted to have that like full creativity and I knew that I couldn't experiment on other people. And people were coming to a session wanted me to do what I already did. So what they already saw. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to, you know, experiment and so on. I could do that with my own kids because no one was expecting photos of them other than me. Wow. And so I was like, this was not for the job.
Yeah.
Like primarily, it wasn't a job. It was just me trying to be creative, you know, just, you know, expanding creativity, whatever. Yeah. And so that's why I didn't think about doing this as a local photographer. But when I started, you know, meeting people that were interested in what I was doing, that when I felt like, oh, I can be now the smart person and tell them like how I did that. And I even right now, when my husband is asking me about the workshops, I'm like, yeah, you know, I just like to, you know, be like the smart band in the room. And that's why I like to run workshops.
I love that. That's awesome. So can you share a little bit about your style and maybe where you find your inspiration?
Oh yeah, I was thinking about that morning, and I was thinking like how I actually produce the pictures. And the first thing that I usually start with just looking because I'm not stuck in the same place. Mostly, because I sometimes come back to the places. Sometimes I do a lot of one to one at my house, but often I'm traveling and finding myself in different conditions, different places. And what I look at. The first thing that I look at is the light in certain places. And if I can use natural light, if I want to bring in some artificial light, if I can use some objects in the room to light it up, basically. And so this is the first thing that I'm trying to figure out. Then I'm trying to figure out like what I have, like when it comes to props or like things around me that I can use. And so I'm kind of like slowly building up the scene. And it's not like that I have a major idea in front of me before going to the session. I actually go to the session and then I figure things out. And so for that, you don't kind of need like a primer inspiration, but just kind of like go with the flow. And then I just put a child in it. And then sometimes even like my first initial thought about how it's going to work changes because the child comes in and either the child wants to do something else on that I figure out, okay, that doesn't work so much. But if we kind of tweak that and that, maybe that would work. And so it's kind of like a process every time. And I wouldn't say there is an inspiration first, although sometimes I need things in advance. So like props or outfits. And then I like this kind of like more of a vintage style, a little bit of vintage, not like just a little bit vintage. No, maybe. Yeah. I don't like to be like full dress up, but it's just something a little on the vintage side.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that. I love full vintage, and you should see my prop room. It is ridiculous of all the outfits, costumes, and the props that I have because my passion really is child portrait photography too, but it's definitely more in like the whole shebang, like dressing them completely up, all of the vintage props. But it's so funny because I didn't realize that that was my style, but it is. And I think I just had that realization right now that actually is my style, the whole shebang, instead of just being a tiny bit of vintage. It's like the full vintage.
Yeah. So it's, on my side, it's like
it's half just a vintage.
Yeah, just a touch. Yeah.
I love it. Have you explored much in the way of AI yet?
Oh, there's a question that you asked me, like, what am I currently like interested in?
Yeah.
So I thought like AI, like how that is going to change what we do, not exactly in the terms of photography, but basically in a whole, how we do like certain things. Like even like right now, for me, it was like writing posts, and I started with doing like chat GPT.
Yeah.
But I didn't like it in the end because it wasn't my voice. It was just like, it was artificial, and I felt like it wasn't me, even though I'm not like, English is my first language, so I would never write those posts as eloquent as I could, but it's still better than doing it myself. And then if I can tell you about a little job that I got recently, that I will be doing a children's book illustrations, but I will be doing that with AI. So I can basically use any AI generator for that. And I tried it already with a couple images. It always messes up hands and fingers.
Yeah. It's the funniest.
Okay. Yeah. It's too many hands or too many fingers or too little fingers.
Like, yeah.
And I know that I'll be have some Photoshop work to add those fingers or to remove extra hands from people. But it was like one thing. And every time I see something that someone is like, it's just some kind of ad or someone's telling me like this, I did that and so on. So I get really interested in that. Yeah, so I am. And it's not like I'm afraid that's going to take our job away. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to just change it a little.
Yeah.
At the moment, it's just making things easier because like, especially with editing, you can select the whole skin and just make it smooth.
Yeah.
And or like stuff like that. And then you can remove the extra hair from people. Oh, that's awesome. And I love it. Although, as I said, like with Chat GPT, I didn't like it because it was too artificial in the end.
Yeah.
So we have to know everybody's going to find their own ways with that.
Yeah. I've been using Discord a little bit, Midjourney Discord, and I've been making backdrops. And so I photoshopped myself into those. And it's so fun. It's so fun.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that. You were in a boat?
In a boat,
I guess. Like it was, I've seen that. And I did that also with one image I had. It was an experiment I did. I had a photo of children and then I did a background with AI, with Midjourney.
Yeah, it's so fun.
So it was fun.
Yeah, it's fun to play. And it's just, I'm so curious to see where it goes, and like what we can do as creatives with it, not replacing us. I think it's really neat. Yeah. So I love that you aren't focusing so much on your local area as a working photographer, but you're expanding more on the global scale. So can you maybe share how you manage the traveling side of photography while being a mama too?
And it was a great, great question. Of course, a husband is a very good thing to have when you're traveling away from home. And I don't know if it's only in Poland or if it's just all around the world. People were saying like, oh, your husband stays alone with the kids. He has to be a very good husband. It's like, hey, so if it was the other way around, he was going away and I was staying at home, would you say that I was a very good mom at this point or not? And it's like, I really appreciate what he does, but I think it's just his job as a dad to stay sometimes with his kids. And he's doing a very good job, you know, just, you know, cooking and maintaining the house and everything. And I'm usually away for like, usually around like 5 days in a row, not longer than that. But now I'm going to the United States on Saturday. So I'll be gone for 10 days. So it's one of my longest trips. And I think he'll be fine. He's like, he always, you know, changes his work schedule to be at home more, to be able to, you know, take care of the kids and so on. So yeah, I love that because like, I know I can trust him and he's always here for me. And whenever like, I usually fill up my calendar at the beginning of the year. So he would know all the year through how it's going to work and when I'm going to be home, where I'm going to be gone, and so on.
I love that. Now, how old are your kids now?
Like, this is funny because like, when they grow up, at some point you kind of lose track. We're like, wow. So they're like 12 and 11.
Yeah. So do they still let you photograph them?
I did maybe like very rarely. I think I was asking them that like, hey guys, like, do you remember the last time where we took like some photos, like for like family photos, but for my work? And they're like, maybe we did that by the stairs. And so we did. And sometimes if I have a new idea in my head, then I would ask them to pose for me. Sometimes if someone, for example, some models are late for the shoot, for the one-to-one workshop, and I would ask my younger one usually to pose for a moment, he'll be okay. He was like, okay, yeah, I need to dress up. I was like, oh yeah, I need to remove my watch and so on. He was like, he was really into that. Like he was like pro, but like I used to take photos only of them.
Yeah.
No other children. Cause I felt like, first of all, it was most comfortable for me to take photos of them because they were always around. I could do whatever. And no one was expecting photos from me. So I could feel like, if I mess up, then I just mess up. Like it's not going to work, and that's fine because this is, I'm the only person, you know, judging that. And they grew up, and then I started doing more and more workshops, so I didn't need to ask them so much. And they grew up, and then they were not that cute anymore, I guess.
It was something that I really struggled with because I got into photography because of my son, and I loved whatever age he was the age I loved the most. And then when he hit about 10 to 12, he said, Mom, I don't want to be photographed anymore. And it was hard because then I was like, well, who am I going to photograph? So I really struggled with that. And then now it's kind of come on the other side where I'm like, okay, well, I've got to figure out where my photographer voice is working with other people's children.
Mm-hmm. It's different. It's completely different to work with your own children and with other children. Sometimes easier, sometimes more difficult. So I try, like when I work around my workshops, a lot of my students are not professional. They just want to take better photos of their own children. And I always have to, you know, explain like, it will be different if you have a client or a model for a session coming. Because they will be motivated in a different way to pose and work with you and your own kids. You have to motivate yourself and you can't really, you know, push it too far because they will say no more at the very young age. So you'll have to be always, you know, put it as a part of just like quality time with your kids, but not overdo it. And then I felt like, you know, it's overdoing photos of it as a parent was the worst thing ever. Yes. Like because not going to work for anyone.
No, I agree. All right. So what has been your most memorable shoot?
Oh, I didn't think about that. The one that people always ask me about is the one with the train. Because people are like, how on earth did you have a train for a shoot? And so I'm very lucky to be running those workshops and having hosts that are, you know, just go and ask around for specific places, and they're really, really nice places. And I had this friend, she was like a photographer. At the time, she wasn't actually working in photography. She just wanted to, you know, she was just passionate about it. And she invited me. And at first, she was like showing me a lot of photos of like a stream or like a field or something for like shooting locations. And at some point, she posted, "Oh, and we have this train here." Mm-hmm. I was like, "Oh, okay." But she said like, but it's not like on a station. It's like on the sidetrack. And I'm not sure if you will like it. And I said, "Yeah." But the people that were just maintaining the train, it was on a sidetrack. It was in Germany. Basically, I didn't say that. It was in Germany. And the train was actually used for some time during the year to Christmas time to take people from like different places into a Christmas market and back. And it had a steam engine. And at the time, it wasn't used. So we could go inside. Well, they gave us electricity. They asked me like, where do I want to put the train? I was like, I felt so important that people asked me where do I want to have the train put? And then I was like, oh, it's fine. But they still had to move it to put the steam engine in front of it. So it looked like it was like, they said they are going to, you know, just start it because it takes that whole day to start the engine. But I was like, no, it's fine. We don't need it to run. And they still tried to get it clean. So there was a guy with a train. I was like, it's fine. You don't have to clean it. We won't be able to see it anyway. But it was fun. It was a small workshop, like around, I think, 5 or 6 participants. But it got me so much recognition of that one shoot. And I got so many like, great photos from that one shoot. And I keep posting that in them even right now. So I think it was this one. Yeah.
I love that. Oh, that's so great. So composition and mood really play a huge role in your work. So can you maybe share how you work with those as the foundations to create your art?
So I was thinking about I felt like light was the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And composition is important too. But I felt like light was the one that I like, because I really focus on light. So first, when I enter a room, when I see a place, when I choose those places, I usually start with light, and I like to play with colors of light. So I'll have the there's a one of my favorite.
Oh, your lantern, yes, it's always in your work. I love it.
yeah, because it's very warm light, and I love to mix it with natural light, and it's so easy. And I feel like it's like your sign. Sometimes you know, people see this lamp. And I've never seen it. Anyone else had it. So it was like, it's my precious thing. And also there is a mood, and I think mostly it comes from the children's expressions because I don't really ask them to pose so much. Like, it really depends on the age, of course. You can't really talk about working with kids and not talk about their age because it will be completely different to work with a 2-year-old and then with a 12-year-old. But I usually want them to be focused on any task they're doing or focused on a specific place, or usually want them to be kind of like look relaxed and look have their faces relaxed. Some people say they look sad, but I was like, no, they're not sad. They're just kind of like relaxed. And they you know, have you seen children, you know, smiling all the time? Like they're just sitting down and it's just like not smiling because they're just natural, like doing like sometimes looking out the window, sometimes, you know, just busy, like doing some kind of a drawing for the parents. Sometimes they're just holding something. I don't know. Just like I'm trying to have them focused and mostly relaxed. So I will just figure out tasks. I will have props. I mean, things I can give them and to play with. I will try to figure out like what could they be doing in that situation that would look natural. So if you're in the forest, maybe just you're walking the path, maybe you're just picking some mushrooms, maybe you're playing with the dog, maybe like figuring things that will look natural.
Yeah. Do you ever run into situations where you're working with kids and they just want to be giving giant smiles to the camera and you're like, that's not what I'm looking for. So how do you change that and direct them to what you want?
I usually tell them that you don't really need to be smiling, you know, just focus on whatever you're doing. Like they're just, you know, for example, I asked them to pretend to fish and they go, and I say like to them, oh, it's okay. You can just, you know, just focus on whatever you're doing. Don't pay attention to us. Like pretend we're not here. Okay. Yeah. Just do your job and enjoy the wood. Like I don't remember that child would not listen to that because I think it's more natural just to do your thing rather than smiling. Smiling is unnatural anyways. I like sometimes when the kids smile when I take photos but that's usually like when they're running and I have a big smile, but it has to be naturally whenever a child would smile. It would be if they talk to each other and they have two kids and one is smiling to another. Those are the situation where you would actually smile in real life, you know, yeah, if there was no photographer around you. So then that's the kind of situation when I like to have the children smile. And usually I would just try to have them focus mm-hmm. and not smile.
I love that. Now, one thing for me is I love to model call. And the problem is I am too generous. And so I want to give like 45 images, but the problem is I'm also a fine art photographer. So as you know, it takes us a great deal of time to edit these images. So what do you do? How many images do you normally give to your models?
Really depends on how well they worked and how many models I had on a session. I try to give them at least five, and I usually end between 5 and 8. Sometimes I have many models and I can only give 3. And I would say like, I'm sorry, but this is like, I remember one time that the very, very young girl, like 3-year-old came and she didn't want to pose. She posed only for maybe one setup. And from that setup, I could give her like 3 photos, but they were not different. She was standing by the river and it was like once he was like this and then she was like that. So, but the mom was aware of the fact that her daughter only posed for one setup. But usually I would try to give at least one photo from each setup. So depending on how many setups we had, how long the session was, how many models we had, and so on. Yeah. But I do, I'm also like, generous, you know, generous with. But at the same time, sometimes I have so many workshops and so many, mm-hmm. it sometimes takes months for them to get their photos. People don't understand that it actually takes time for us to get those like through all of like 700 photos. And pick the best ones and then edit and so on.
So what advice would you have for someone who's just starting out?
Like in the way I do it, like, you know, just with education, right? So I would say one advice that I would have because I remember I was starting up and I had this person that used to like would run workshops for some time and she called me and she gave me a piece of advice. But I think that she didn't tell me that it's okay to, like, it's very good actually to work with other people, especially the people, mm-hmm. even if it means that you are not making the full amount of your workshop because actually you're sharing the amount of like the income with other person. But actually that makes it easier for you to sell the workshop and that puts your name out there and that person is putting your name out there. So all those collaborations with other Mm-hmm. Well, for example, I had a collaboration with Expert Photography and I wrote an ebook for them. And then right now I have a video course and also another collaboration. I'm not making a full, you know, amount of money on that, like on every course they sell. Sometimes I'm not even making any money on whatever they sell. I only making money if it's like an affiliate program that I'm just making money on whenever someone buys from my link. But at the same time, they're putting my name over that. I heard many times people learned about my work from that ad that actually Expert Photography is running.
All right. So you ready for our lightning round?
Yes, I am.
So do you have any personal projects going on? And if you do, what is it?
So I don't. Actually, I'm at the moment, you actually called me at the moment, but I don't. And I'm actually one of those people that I get really caught on things and I get really obsessed about things. Mm-hmm. I used to be obsessed with like gardening, then I was obsessed with like dieting, then I was obsessed with like, I used to like play like instruments and so on. And I was like, I got into Rubik Cube and so on. And at the moment, I'm actually not, but like maybe in 2 days, I will like something will strike me and I will be, you know, constantly about, you know, going over something. But you actually called me in a moment, or just basically, you know, focus on my work and going to on my next trip.
Do you, if you like to cook, what do you like to cook the most?
I'm not the huge, like, because I'm we went on keto like 2 years ago, and we're still on keto with my husband. Yeah, we lost a lot of weight. Actually, I feel much better right now than I used to. So, like, I like to do like all those keto stuff, like with, like, you know, just breakfast and so on. But I'm not a huge person in the kitchen, so I would do like if I was on my own, if like no one was at the house and I was just on my own, I would probably just open the fridge and eat whatever, and just close the fridge, and I wouldn't cook anymore. I would just eat, like, you know, cold and raw stuff.
Yeah. What did you want to be as a kid when you grew up?
I think I wanted to be an architect, but I guess I was wrong. But I also liked photography. I remember I was like not a lot of kid, but I remember that we were just like just at the moment when we were graduating from high school, and we had an exam. I don't know. We probably have also an exam at the end of the, like, this is like, you know, just the end of the of your high school, and then you're just going straight to university. So we had this, we were met up to just learn and you know, study for this. And some, like, friend of us asked, like, what do you want to now study and what do you want to be? And I said, I guess I said I'm an architect, but someone else in the room said, I want to be a photographer. And I was like, I look at her like, yeah, you, like, I could be a photographer, like, not you. But I was like, I never said that out loud, but I thought, like, yeah, that doesn't. Yeah, so I had that thought in the back of my head for a moment. I remember this particular moment, but I guess before that, I think I wanted to be an architect because everybody in my family was in that building industry, and there would be designers, there would be usually structure engineers, like most of the, like, my parents, my husband is structure engineer.
Wow. So familiar. That's interesting. Your favorite guilty or not so guilty pleasure?
Pleasure. So, you know, when I was thinking about that, and I thought maybe a one thing that really, you know, relaxes me and I really like, I like to drive. I like to drive my car. So that's super weird because I feel like I can then relax because when I'm sitting at home and I want to relax, I never relax because there is always something to do. But when you're in your car, you can't really do anything else. You just have to keep your steering wheel and just look at the street. And then it kind of like it. I get everything off my mind. So I love to drive from my workshops. Like, usually I have to drive back from my workshop because then I'm not nervous about the workshop anymore. Yeah. So this is my full, like, relaxed time. And I just love that. So I'm looking forward next time that I have to, like, a long drive to do.
I love that. That's awesome. What is the best gift you've ever received?
Oh, I don't know. I tried to figure it out.
Hard one, hey? I know. Yeah. Same. I don't know. Yeah. I know. I have to think about that one because I'm like, because most of the things that I love, I honestly have bought myself. My husband's a terrible gift giver. Yeah, because when you
need the... My husband is a good one, but he always, you know, knows what I want. And I told him that before. But I love every time someone gets me a present where I think they really, really thought. Yes. About what I would need or I would like. And so there are, like, many early things. But on the other hand, it's not the material stuff that you get, but it's just the intention of someone giving you a gift. Even if it was, like, for example, their time or they're coming to see you. And I think that is a more important gift than the actual, you know, just object that they give you.
Yeah.
So I appreciate time.
When I was in New York with my business partner, gosh, this was probably 2016 or 2017, she surprised me with tickets to Wicked on Broadway. And that was an amazing present. Yes. Yeah. So when you're in New York, are you going to be seeing any Broadway shows?
I don't think so. I think I will be just visiting the city. I don't know what my host planned for this. I will be doing two shoots for because
you're busy.
People asking me that. Yeah, I can do two shoots. And I'm probably I'll be seeing a lot of buildings because it's still a part of me is that architect, and I'm really interested in just seeing the city and the buildings and the architecture and the structure of the city, because I would do I did my degree from architecture with the way that cities are built, so I'm really interested in that.
Very cool. What is something you've accomplished as an adult that your younger self would be proud of?
I guess all the traveling that I did, I would never, you know, think that I would, you know, go on my own to all those places, that I would be in Argentina, I would be in Brazil, I would be in China, and so on. And I would sometimes go there just by myself and, you know, just still, you know, find a, and also the fact that I'm not really stressed about this so much.
Yeah.
So I feel like confident about being on my own and anywhere. And I feel like I can, you know, just handle those things.
So where can our listeners learn more from you?
Of course, Instagram that we mentioned before, Facebook. I've been trying to get my YouTube channel to work a little better. Because I had a YouTube channel for a long time and I would upload sometimes some videos that I felt, for example, when I was running my workshops and I wanted to make sure that everybody's on the same level. So I felt like I need to have like a basis level there so that I can watch it before coming to the workshop. So I started with that. And then I had those overlays and I wasn't sure if people are going to know how to use them. So I would post videos there and I felt like, okay, let's just make it to another, like another platforms. But it seems like it's not going so smooth as I thought. It was just like a lot of work. It's way more work and it's way different work that I was doing right now. And I was like, I wanted to post a video maybe before I go to the USA next week. But like it takes a lot of time for me to edit those. And I try to, you know, just outsource that editing. But then I never felt like I was a control freak over things, but I still wanted to see what I said and how I said it and how it looks. And maybe I did said something stupid and I just still wanted to see that and edit that out if it was stupid and so on. You can try YouTube because I'm trying to, you know, but basically, mostly my Instagram is, which is my name, Ivona Podlasińska.
I love that. So what would your dream shoot be?
Oh, difficult one. Did I read that before?
I don't know.
What would my dream shoot be? Oh, you surprised me. Actually, I think I'm trying to figure. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out like in my favorite shoots where I have really cute children, really cute and but really easy to work with, which is not doesn't go together.
No.
Usually cute kids are very little and those are more difficult to work with. And also with like cute baby animals. So that is like over like cuteness overload. So that's like, and especially with like really nice and soft lighting. That would be a dream shoot, I guess. But we'll see. Like I sometimes get those opportunities. I do.
Yeah, I love that. So I love to end our interviews just with this question. It's what are you currently are curious about? But I think we talked a little bit about AI already. So is there anything else you're currently curious about?
Yeah, I'm basically, yeah, about that, because I'm trying to, you know, find new ways to work with my photography and also to new ways to teach. So I'm trying to, you know, figure out that YouTube and how to edit videos, and I'm learning that. I'm not the best at the moment, so this is I'm at the moment of learning those things. But also, I have a lot of like traveling in front of me, and I can't wait to be on in all those places. So I'm very, very excited about the incoming year, because it's been like the previous year was really good, and I was in so many places, including like I had a workshop on Zanzibar, which was like, but it was like I actually brought a group with me, so I wanted to do that again because it was just one of the like the biggest like adventures that I ever did with the group, to go to Zanzibar and be there for a weekend and photograph, you know, Maasai people and so on, and also do our own like fashion shoots. Like we as photographers were also models at the same time, so it was so fun. And I hope to do that again this year. And of course, I'm looking forward to that USA trip next week, and also coming back maybe in the autumn to California then. And right now I'll be in New York and Mansfield, Texas.
I love it.
Awesome. So I still have some spots. So if someone wants, if that airs before I go there, so you can still sign in to a workshop where we photograph children with beautiful lights and lovely setups.
I love that. Well, we'll definitely post a link in our show notes for people or our listeners to check you out. Well, Ivona, thank you so much for joining me today. It's always such a pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here. It's such an honor.
Oh, my beautiful friends, I hope you have loved this conversation just as much as I have. I am sending you so much of my light and my love today and every single day. We will see you next time. I wanted to take a moment to ask you a little favor. I so appreciate you spending your time with me and tuning in and listening to the show. I would be so incredibly grateful if you could take a quick moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your review helps other photographers discover the podcast and learn how to grow their own photography businesses and gain confidence to go after their dreams. It also means the world to me personally and helps me know what content you find most helpful. Thank you so much for your support and for being part of our amazing community.